Blog Talk Radio.
I'm coming to you from beautiful Seattle, Washington, sporting a fantastic view of the mountains and gorgeous vistas of scenic Puget Sound. This is the Mental Power Hour, and I'm your host, T. LeVon Lawrence, NeuroSculpting Certified Mental Fitness and Brain Training Consultant, author and designer of the NeuroSculpting Mental Fitness Training System for life-changing development of improved mental concentration, better mental focus, and stronger mental discipline and willpower while enhancing brain health and brain fitness, because in the end, that's what it's all about. And you know what? It's a little bit strange to me, some of the definitions of what passes for brain fitness and brain health nowadays. I've got a driving philosophy that I think you, from a practical standpoint, should adopt, and it is this. If you cannot do what you set out to do in this life, then you don't have what I consider to be real brain health and brain fitness. Your brain is at the root of everything you experience and achieve in this life. So part of any effective brain training or brain health routine should be an increase in your ability to live life more fully and realize more of your potential, not merely to just be good at doing parlor tricks or mental calculations and playing chess when you can't even get out in life and be who it is you really want to be. So, welcome again to the Mental Power Hour. I am T. LeVon Lawrence. The reason I'm here this week, I want to talk about something that I consider to be dear to my heart. Most of the trainees that I deal with at the NeuroSculpting Training Studio suffer from this problem, and so it's important to me for everyone to have a chance to be able to kick this particular type of habit. And so I'm going to spend about the next hour talking about the habit itself, its characteristics, symptoms, and how to get out of it. I'm going to tell you literally how you can beat this particular habit. Fact. The average person walks around in a daze of mental distraction nearly half their waking day. It's true. Fact. If you're like the average person, then your attention and your thoughts are not under your conscious, direct authority nearly half the time you're alive. And that means for every moment that your mind is wandering, you are helplessly operating on autopilot. Your hands are not on the wheel guiding your course through life. In those moments, something else is determining your destiny. That's scary, guys. Think about that for a moment. Don't go wandering off, but think of that for a moment. Fact, the solution to reduce the mental wandering habit is extremely simple. Didn't say it was easy. I said it was simple. Very simple to be able to break this habit. And the benefits that come from just reducing the mental wandering habit are amazing. They can absolutely change your life experience. Folks, have I got a show for you today. And, you know, pretty much every time I have a show, I say, folks, have I got a show for you today? But, guys, you got to believe me this time. I have got a show for you today. I'm telling you that over the past 30 days, I've been contacted by more than 100 people. I'm not talking about the people who just go to the website and sign up for the subscriptions or just go for the free training that we offer. I'm talking about people who contact me personally to complain about this particular issue. Your wandering mind, it's worse than you think. This show is about brain training to stop a wandering mind this week. More than 100 people from all over the planet having the same problem that you're probably having. That's amazing to me. And every single one of them who I've corresponded with or spoken to on the phone believes that it's just exclusively them. They don't understand why they're having this problem, and they're amazed to find out, no, everybody has this problem. Rare is the individual, rare is the person you're going to run into who is not having this particular issue. And the person who's not having this particular issue, it's going to be period, because they've done the types of things that I'm going to tell you to do in today's program. Now, this comes right on the heels of a recently released Harvard University research study that showed most people spend at least half their waking day in a daze. And that's normal people. It doesn't even take into account people who are suffering from attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, or ADHD. That means that when you are engaged in activities that demand all of your attention, you're still going off into la-la land. As a matter of fact, that Harvard research study is not the only one. I've got two other research studies from back in 2007, one of them from the University of North Carolina. Now, the results from the University of North Carolina study showed that people were daydreaming and wandering off into distraction about one-third of the time, but their technology and their techniques were a little bit different than this Harvard study. The Harvard study was awesome. They used the iPhone. They used an iPhone app. They used modern technology, and they tracked people. Hey, when the alarm went off, they were asked on the iPhone, hey, how am I feeling right now? The results of this study showed that people were mentally wandering 46.9% of the time, and that's on average, because you know some were going to be a little bit less, but I guarantee you that was quite a number that was a lot more than that. And the results showed that the mental wandering wasn't making people happy, it was making them miserable. There's a reason why your brain wanders away from whatever situation you're in. It's not into it. It's not interested. Which means it's, well, unhappy. So it goes off into something else, some other concern. Now, here's an interesting thing about that. Your mind, if it's in the mental wandering habit, which for most of us it is, if you're an average person, it is, doesn't really matter the situation you're in. You could be at a wedding, your own wedding, for crying out loud, and your mind wanders into things. Because once the habit's there, it's there. The world just doesn't grab your attention and hold it in one place without a great deal of interest, a good deal of uplifting and pleasurable biochemicals running through your brain. If you don't got that, then your mind's off into la-la land, off into something else, and the content that your mind wanders off into, that can be pretty doggone scary, because the effects of that mental wandering, well, that determines your destiny. When your hands are not on the wheel, your destiny is being determined by whatever kinds of content is making up the thoughts and the feelings that you're wandering into. To me, that's a scary thing, to not be in control. And I'm not talking about being some kind of control freak. I mean to not be the determiner of one's own destiny in the moment. That's a bit freaky to me. Thank you. So today's show, we're going to discuss the characteristics of a wandering mind. We're going to talk about some of the potential negative impacts of a wandering mind. There's a price you pay every time you allow yourself to drift off from whatever you're doing, wherever you are. You're in a room, you're sitting at a desk, you've got some work right in front of you, or you're on a boat, you're fishing. You're supposed to be in paradise. You're in a social club. You're at the dance club, and there's good-looking people everywhere. But you're not there. You're off into la-la land. You're thinking all kinds of crazy thoughts. There's a price you pay every time you allow that to happen. We're going to talk about that price. We're going to talk about the simple brain training solution that lessens the mental wandering habit. And again, I'm letting you know, it's simple, but it's not necessarily easy, because you're going to be acting in defiance, in direct defiance of your brain's habit. It's not that I want to pit you against your brain, but your brain's wiring is what it is. And you're going to have to literally change your brain's own wiring in order to get the result. It's simple. You're going to have to replace one habit with another habit. That's how you replace a habit. You want to get rid of a habit? You don't just get rid of a habit. You replace a habit with another habit. Because what you're doing is you're taking one matrix of brain wiring, and you're starting to shift things around to be able to replace that with another matrix of brain wiring. And sometimes the shifts are pretty subtle. It doesn't require you to have a whole new brain. But the patterns are going to be different. You're going to be accessing different areas of your brain as a matter of habit than those areas that you constantly access while in the pattern of mental wandering itself. Now, I'm going to give you two simple strategies that you can use starting today to begin training yourself out of the habit and give you a way to create a cognitive safety net to break the patterns. You're going to need a safety net. Remember, we're talking about your brain. Your brain is the most amazing, clever mechanism in the universe as we know it. And if there's another mechanism in the universe more clever than the brain, we don't care. You're going to need a safety net, because the brain's greatest weapon against you is forgetfulness. And the form of that weapon lies in mental wandering. Your brain will do everything it can to maintain the status quo. And your job is to disturb the status quo so that your brain can get into a new habit, which is more beneficial for it and for you. Remember, this is all about improving brain health and brain fitness. If I can help you get out of a mental wandering habit, your brain will improve in both health and fitness. It will improve in health because mainly of the emotional changes that will happen when you get out of the mental wandering habit. I'm about to tell you here shortly why there's such a powerful yet near destructive, and in some cases very destructive, mental impact from mental wandering. Now, also on today's show, I'm going to tell you a little bit about some of the live training we've been doing, some of the summaries, some of the stuff that's going on with other people and businesses that I'm working with that may apply for you. Now, if you wish, you can call in during the show to ask any questions or get advice. I mean, it's going to be jam-packed, but if I see you on the phone, I'll go ahead and see you raise your hand. I'll answer whatever question you have. I'll try to keep it as brief as possible because I got a lot of content to go over. The number you call if you want to call in is 347-884-9397. That's 347-884-9397. Now, you can contact me personally. A lot of people do. I might not be able to get to you right away that very moment, but I do get back to folk. You can contact me personally at 904-638-3851. That's 904-638-3851 during the week. And if you don't hit me right away, hey, just leave a message. And I'll get back to you. Now, you can catch me on Skype because I am a Skype member. And my Skype ID is dynamic.mental.fitness. You just dynamic, little period, mental, little period, fitness. So if you have Skype, just do a contact request. I'll get back in contact. And I'll let you know. I've spoken with people in over this past week, people who are not active subscribers to the Neurosculpting Training Studio. I've spoken to about 20 people this week in, I guess, about 8 different countries, answered whatever questions they had. Some of them, I referred to the free training that we give because that's a lot of training. It's a lot of training. And others went straight over to become subscribers. I don't push people one way or the other. I do what's best for you. Because the fact of the matter is, the only real reason you need to become a subscriber to the Neurosculpting Training Studio is if you want more personalized attention. But that free course that we give is a huge course. You could train for months on that thing. Now, you might not get the kind of personalized, customized attention that you need, but you've got enough to start. I give you far more information than you need to make major progress. So you're welcome to call 904-638-3851 or catch me on Skype at dynamic.mental.fitness. Leave me a message if you're having any problems. And if you're taking our free 7-day course training and you're having any issues, we have a forum, guys, for the course. When you go to the Brain Fitness blog at our website, while you're up at the blog, you'll see the link up there says forum. Go to the forum. Leave a question. I'll answer it for you. Sometimes I'll do it with video, sometimes by email, sometimes I'll answer it right there. Now, a lot of people, what I've found is they go to the forum, they don't put any posts in the forum. Instead, they come directly to me. I wish people would just ask their questions in the forum itself, because then I can put up the answer for everybody to see. Now, I don't have to make it personal. You know, if you've got some personal issues that you don't want out there, we can make it generic, not a problem. So, how valuable is this episode for you? What are you going to get out of listening to this week's episode on the mental wandering habit? Let me tell you this. How valuable? I want you to track just for one day how much your mind wanders and what kind of nonsense and trouble your mind gets into, just for one day. And then ask yourself the question, what if I could stop doing this? According to the Harvard Research Study, my mind wanders at least 46.9% of the time. It's always wandering and getting into trouble. What would happen if I could get back that 46.9% of the time? That means in an 8-hour day, nearly 4 hours of your life is on autopilot. You're not in control of who you are, what you're doing, and what you're thinking half your day, guys. You're living, you're breathing, you're not dead or anything. But you're on autopilot. You're like a machine, an automaton. What if you could get in an 8-hour day, what if you could get those 4 hours back? What if you were in conscious control of yourself, of what you were thinking and what you were feeling during that 4 hours in an 8-hour day? What could you do in that 4 hours? How much more productive could you be? And if you're not worried about work, if you were on a vacation, for crying out loud, and you could keep your mind in the room with you on where you are, what you're doing, and who you're around, what conversations are going on. If you could stay in the room for that 4 hours, what kind of experience could you enjoy? Do you realize the level of personal power and self-control necessary to simply be able to keep your attention in the room with yourself and not allow your mind to go wandering off into la-la land? Do you realize how much personal power that acquires? And do you realize if you had that ability to not go off into la-la land, to not go off into daydreaming and mental wandering, how much stronger you would be as a human being? Can you contemplate that potential of what you could do with your life? You would be totally different. You would be unstoppable if you could simply keep your attention with you. Simple scenario. You're working at a company. You're not too particularly happy about working for this company. You've got a dream. You want to be a ballet dancer. I don't know, whatever. You want to work in the Spider-Man musical and fall 30 feet and get injured like that guy the other day. I don't know, whatever it is. You're in the office. You're in a cubicle. Your life's slipping away. You can feel it. You can feel the grim reaper tapping you on the shoulder, breathing down your neck. You don't really want to be there. So you're looking at the latest report that your manager sent you, and then you're off into a daydream. I don't know, maybe you're an action hero, or you're racing in a Formula One race, or you're fishing on a lake somewhere in your mind, or you're worrying about bills or regrets of something that happened in the past or something you're dreading in the future. Who knows? And you, according to this Harvard University research study, you're that way almost half your day. That means for 8 hours you didn't work at your best, at your peak efficiency. Now, what if you could get those 4 hours back? This level of self-control that's required to be able to do that, you would not long remain in that situation if you could simply develop that particular skill. For one, you'd be superior to your boss, to your manager. They would not be able to contain you. The people above them would see you. You'd be a bright, shining light, a beacon that nobody can hide. You'd be on your way up before you ever even knew it. And if you wanted to, without even any struggle, you could easily be getting another job, another career. You would have no fear about moving into whatever field you really wanted to get into, because you would have the level of self-control, of personal power, of willpower that comes from simply being able to control your attention. It's simple. It's not easy. But that's the illustration of the difference. So that's how valuable this episode is to you. Here's an idea on how to track how much your mind wanders. Take an alarm. Let's say if you've got a watch, a digital watch or a digital alarm or any other alarm that you can set for an interval of, say, 15 minutes or 20 minutes or 30 minutes, and set that alarm to go off in that amount of time, then go about your regular day. When that alarm goes off, write down what you were thinking about prior to that alarm going off, if you can even remember. Because I'm telling you that if you are the average person, and most likely you are, during the time, between the time you set the alarm and the time the alarm goes off, you may have had hundreds of thoughts. And your mind may have been totally wrapped up in nearly every single one of them. And the content of those thoughts could have been, in many cases, quite disturbing. And we're going to talk about the effects of that here shortly. Now, I give away a lot of information on these shows. It's my mission and it's my job that you should be able to realize more of your cognitive, your mental potential, so that you can experience more of your potential in your own personal life, so that you can realize more mental power. And I'm not saying that you got to go out and get rich and build a giant company or anything like that. I'm saying that your mental life, your brain, your cognitive abilities, this is the source of your potential. And sometimes your potential is merely a matter of being able to be happy with what you're doing. That's my mission. So I give away a lot of information on these shows. I give away too much information. I've heard it 1,000 times. People listen to about 30 minutes of the show. They go and they do stuff that they heard, and then they come back and they listen to the rest. That's why I have a training archive. These are training shows, not talk shows. You can go back to my mental fitness archive in this Blog Talk Radio program and get information on mental concentration, mental focus, mental discipline, mindfulness, all kinds of stuff. One show, literally, if you do what I talk about in the show, could change your life. I do this for your benefit. Of course, I get a benefit, too. My benefit is I get to be who I am here to be. I get to fulfill my purpose. Now, only thing I ask from you is that you help somebody else by letting them know that this information is available for them. If you know somebody who procrastinates, for instance, give them a gift in this holiday season of directing them to the training archives on this Blog Talk Radio page. I've got multiple shows on how to resolve procrastination, how to deal with fear, how to overcome and eradicate both from your life. Someone who's distracted, show them the archive where I have the mental concentration training shows, the mental focus training shows. You cannot go to Amazon.com and find one single book that will encapsulate more information than I give on these radio shows. And they don't have to pay for it. You just come, you listen to the show, you get the great advice, you try out some of the techniques, then you go on over to neurosculpting.com, look up top, find the free 7-day course, submit your email, get the 7-day course. It's a 7-day course that you just go over in 7 days. It's not a course that says, okay, in 7 days you're going to be brilliant. No. It's a course that you can read through in 7 days and have enough information to train yourself over the coming months so that you can change your life. You've got plenty of support. You got this radio show. You've got the ability to contact me. You've got the forum. Come on. Give somebody else a gift. Help somebody else out. Now, on our radio show page, you're going to see a Twitter button. Use it. You're going to see a Facebook button. Use it. Go to my Facebook page, befriend us. And then let your friends know about it. Do somebody else a favor. Now, the Mental Power Hour is brought to you by the NeuroSculpting Mental Training Studio for life-changing development of improved mental concentration, better mental focus, and stronger mental discipline and willpower, while it enhances brain health and brain fitness. And I just told you why. Visit the studio at www.neurosculpting.com. That's NEURO-sculpting.com. Now, next week's show, we're going to talk about brain training for self-discipline, the power to own yourself. And if you think I got a show for you today, guys, I'm going to really have a show for you then. Now, the big disclaimer. The information we provide on the Mental Power Hour is for educational and entertainment purposes only. We do not claim nor suggest you ignore the advice of legitimately qualified mental health care professionals. If you feel you may have a serious mental health issue, if you're nuttier than a bug in a rug, you should consult your doctor. Now, if you're not looking to snipe people from a book depository window, then you're okay. Listen to this show. Seriously, guys, if you've got some serious problems, okay, you need to consult somebody. Now, this is a good show, but I'm, you know, if you need help, go get it. Now, live personal and group training summaries. Over the past couple weeks, because I haven't done shows for a few weeks, over the past couple weeks, I've been dealing with a lot of business people, executives, and, of course, on a personal level, folks like yourself, on three major issues that come to mind for me. One, goal setting. One of the biggest problems that people I've been talking to, one of the biggest problems they're having is not that they don't set their goals. A lot of people set their goals. It's twofold. They don't set them properly, and then they don't set the right supportive goals. Guys, the goals you set determine who you need to be in order to make those goals happen. I need you to really think about that a second. The goals you set determine who you need to be in order to make that goal happen. The fastest way to achieve any goal, especially a big goal, is to figure out who you need to be, become that person as soon as possible. Matter of fact, make that your top goal, and then do and be everything that person is right now. For instance, let's say you're looking to build a huge business. You may already have a business and you want to be huge, or you want to start a business. Let's say you've given yourself a 1 year or 2 year time frame. Part of the mental focus training that we provide is that you've got to be able to visioneer, which is the same as, you know, you combine the words engineer and visualize, okay? Visioneer, I think that was a Disney term, your objective. You've got to visioneer it. That means you've got to be able to have clearly and with great clarity in your own mind what life is going to be like when you've already achieved that goal. That means you've got to be able to see that goal with absolute clarity, not merely know what the goal is. Oh, I want to start a business. No. You've got to be able in your own mind to picture or contemplate, because not everybody's a great visual person. Some people think about it without seeing images. Some people write down their goals with great clarity and detail. However you've got to be able to do it, you've got to put it down, put it in your mind, what it's going to be like a year from now, 2 years from now, for that particular goal. What is that goal like with it already achieved? What are you like at that time? And it can be tough, because we cannot always easily contemplate what we are not as human beings. Because let's say you've got that big business goal in a year or 2 years from now. The person you are in 1 year or 2 years, how whenever you achieve that goal, is somewhat different than the person you are now. That person will have had different experiences, will have different levels of confidence and competence and skill and knowledge and understanding and insight as a result of having obtained that goal. You need to be able to visioneer, to imagine to yourself what that is like. And yes, you're going to be making it up.
But T. LeVon, that doesn't seem very genuine or real.
It's real. No, you cannot literally place yourself in that position, but in your mind, you've got the ability to synthesize the experience. You may have to do a little research. You may have to go to the library, read some biographies on people who've already done it, read some articles by people who've already done it. Ask questions. Call people who've already done it. Ask them, what is it like? How did you do it? This feeds your subconscious mind and even your conscious mind to be able to put in those details for yourself so that you can arrange, so that you can assemble a vision of what it's like. And you need to be able to do this for effective goal setting. Why? Because you need to know who you are going to be so that you can become that person right now. That person can get the job done. The person you are right now is not going to get the job done. The person you are right now is going to start, but you're going to change as time goes on. Why not change right now? The person you are right now is shaky, doesn't have a whole lot of confidence. The person you are right now has a lot of ignorance and a lack of knowledge. The person you are right now needs to somehow become the person you're going to be. Yes, you're going to achieve that goal, but here's how to make it easier. And so what I tell people from the goal-setting standpoint is your first objective after naming what your objective is going to be, is to start thinking. Your most powerful tool is to sit down and think your way into this particular success. It is through thinking that you're going to achieve this goal. There is not one thing, one accomplishment of humanity that is not first a thought in someone's mind. You're going to think your way into the objective, and thus it's going to be easier for you to do it. You're going to think of the person you want to become, and you're going to focus in on that because it is that person, that person's characteristics that are going to ensure that you get what you set out for. That is the most important part of goal setting after you determine what you want. Because what you want is to become that person. Everything else is just trappings, special effects. The money or the people you're going to be around, that's all special effects of becoming the person you're going to be then. So become that person now. If anybody's got any questions on that, let me know. I'll be doing some blog posts about it, probably some videos, but it's a super, super important thing. And I'll tell you the strangest, the reason this needs to happen, you're going to, in setting and achieving goals, there are steps you're going to have to do. And those steps are not always going to be clear. It's like walking up to an edge of a precipice, and you don't know what's on the other side because there's fog there obscuring your vision. But you know that in order to achieve your goals, you've got to step across to the next level. Because achieving a goal is a series of steps, and those steps go up. But from one step to the next, the way is not always clear. It's got to be clear in your mind. You've got to become that person who is willing to continually take those steps, even though you can't see what's on the other side of the mist. But here's the great thing. You take that step through the mist, you're going to land. And when you get to the other side, you will no longer be the person who took the step. You're going to be more. You're going to see more. You're going to know more. You're going to have experienced more. If you take enough steps in a row, it'll become automatic. It'll become habit. Nothing can stop you at that point. But if in order for you to become that adventurous human being, you're going to have to see yourself that way. So in your goals, see yourself as the person who achieves the goals and look at that person until you become that person. You're going to want to think like that person, act like that person, behave like that person, so you can feel like that person. Then you'll be that person, and then the goal will just come to you. Another topic that stands out among the three things that have stood out in the live training is learning how to ride out a storm. Guys, you've got to be able to train your mind so that it perceives every obstacle as an opportunity. I'm not going to get into the details of that here, but some of the training I'm going to tell you about today, on some of the techniques on being able to keep your mind from wandering, some of those techniques are going to give you what you need to be able to ride out storms, because at least half of the miseries and the torture and trials and troubles that you go through don't even actually exist. They are in your mind. If I can get you to keep your attention in the room with you, to detach yourself from mindless mental drifting, your life will become so much better automatically, because your attention will not habitually wander into meaningless content in your thoughts. Life, there are issues in life, but most of your issues are entirely mental. You don't know this because your attention is stolen, and when your attention is immersed in the thought, it is real to you. If you can detach your attention from that thought, you will experience a distancing from that mental experience that was in the thought. It will seem, it will go off to the distance until it's muted, until you can't even feel it anymore. And that that whatever you were going through while your attention was in that thought no longer exists for you. That is the most amazing thing to me. I was on the phone with someone last night. She was crying, guys. Crying over all the troubles of the world that she was going through. Nobody knows. That's all I was hearing. I had to stop her, break her pattern, say, look, I hate to sound like I'm not understanding, but we're going to have to put a stop to this, break this pattern right now. I want you to drop the thought you're having right now, because you're not even talking to me, my dear. You are walking around in that nasty thought, and you are feeling its reality. And you are taking that reality as though it is reality itself. Now, I want you to snap out of it. And I want you to listen to me. I want your attention in the room right now. And then I led her into a different idea. 5 minutes later, it was as though she never went through the previous experience. The storm that she was immersed in was gone, and she was in sunshine, seeing her way clear. You have that ability anytime you wish to employ it. You've got to learn how to ride out a storm, but first you've got to know what's a storm and what's not a storm. Most of your troubles are self-created, and they exist entirely in the mind. That's another show. But that's been big on training for the past few weeks. And the last and final thing that's really stood out over the past few weeks is the idea of setting an objective and being able to move in a straight line to the objective instead of veering right or left, of course. Now, I'm not going to get into details on that because I've done at least 3 shows on that, and all you got to do is go into the training archive and look for mental focus and goal setting, moving in a straight line, and mental discipline, and that is just look for them. You'll see the shows. You'll find hours of material on what it takes to move in a straight line. And check this out, guys. I just put out, let me see, 6, 12, I think about 14 videos on my YouTube channel. 14 training videos on my YouTube channel. 6 of those videos are about getting out and breaking procrastination. The other, I think, maybe 9 videos or so are on the differences between mental concentration versus mental focus. I'm telling you, there's about 2 hours of videos on being able to defeat procrastination and learning, I mean, really learning the difference between mental concentration and mental focus. And matter of fact, mental concentration and mental focus, if you go to the last video in the series, it's on applying mental concentration and mental focus to achieving your goals. Heck, I would start with the last video in that particular series, mental concentration versus mental focus, on achieving goals. That's a great video, if I do say so myself. Go to our YouTube channel, www.youtube.com/dynamicmentalfitness. Check those out. I wish there was somebody like me back when I was needing this kind of information. There was nobody. I had to search for months just to come up with one little document that I could read that totally changed my life, because it absolutely just, oh my goodness. You guys are very fortunate, and I'm not bragging on myself. I'm not patting myself on the back. I'm letting you know how much there is out there to be able to help you. So go to the YouTube channel. Check out those videos. If you want to be able to move in a straight line to your objectives, if you want to be able to achieve your goals, mental concentration. First, attention control, mental concentration, and mental focus will get you there. So, what are some of the characteristics of a wandering mind? I'll be back in about 15 seconds, and we'll go over it. Thank you, Maestro. Thank you for the music. Okay, we're back. What are some of the characteristics of a wandering mind? Let me give you a couple scenarios. And you know what I'm talking about already. Social situations. No matter where you are, you're not there. You go to a dinner party, you're off in la-la land. You see some people, everybody you see causes you to start thinking thoughts. That old machine that starts chattering. Especially if a social situation you don't want to be at. Don't let it be a freaking party, a work party, or a meeting. Oh, my goodness. A meeting at work? Unless you're running it, maybe, and even then your mind is wandering off into things. It's when you're not there when you're supposed to be there. Social situations, it happens. Social conversations. This happens all the time. Even I have to fight it. You're speaking with somebody, and when they're talking, you're not really hearing them. Your mind is a million miles away. Matter of fact, you may already be formulating what you want to say to that person, and you're not even listening to what they're saying. You're on the edge of your seat, ready to blurt out whatever is pressing in on your mind to say, to where you're not even truly understanding someone. As someone told me the other day, do you think I'm a good listener? I felt the temptation to go, oh, of course you are. You're a great listener. But for some stupid reason, I told the truth. I went, no, not really. Then I had to spend an hour explaining what the problem. The person's not a good listener. And they're not a good listener, which means they're not a good communicator, because when someone is speaking to them, they're not there. They're not there in the room. They can't actually hear what this person is saying. In matter of fact, in a social situation, because you have a mental wandering habit, whatever somebody says has to first go through the filter of your own psychology, get rearranged into whatever imaginary construct that you have going on. And in order for you to construct that, you're already thinking in your head. The person's kind of faded off into the background. They're sounding like Charlie Brown's teacher. They're like, wah, 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 wah. Because your brain is clever enough to kind of hear on a subconscious level what they're saying. But you, from your subjective level, you're already saying what it is you want to say and what you want to talk about. Heck, you may be thinking about something entirely different. That's a mental wandering thing, right? That's a characteristic. Studying, oh my goodness. Academics, studying, school, even people who have to take tests and exams, like military people. Not only do you not want to study, so you're regretting and your mind's going off into all kinds of mental wanderings about how lousy this is and how how terrible are going to be the consequences of your not studying. You're just being beaten up by your own brain. That's mental wandering. You haven't even gotten down to studying yet, and you're already wandering off into devastating ideas about the impacts. Then when it comes time to study, you're sitting down, you're holding a book, or you're at the computer. Your brain doesn't want to do it, so off you go into la-la land. And, of course, that leads to other forms of distraction. You break out music, you start watching television, you start playing video games. It's because your mind doesn't want to be where it is and do what it's supposed to be doing. And that's an accumulated habit. It's not that the thing itself is inherently bad or painful. It's that it's your bored brain wanting more stimuli. And even when you engage in the stimuli, the distracting activity, your mind goes and wanders off into something else. Why? Because it's a mental wandering habit. It's etched into your brain's anatomy, into the wiring of your brain, like I said before. When you're at the office, now I can't tell you how many people I've run into in the corporate world who complain about their lot in life, about not getting the promotions they think they deserve, about not getting the money they think they deserve, when I can clearly observe them and see why. They're not productive like they're supposed to be. They spend half a day out in the smoking area, their minds drifting off into fantasies or regrets or the future or the past. They're at the computer, but they're not really working. They get maybe 15 minutes, a half hour a day of real work. They're busy socializing with other people. They're surfing the internet, goofing off, watching the latest viral video. They're busy spreading rumors and engaging in drama and theatrics at work. They're busy playing politics and games instead of really focusing in and seeing, asking themselves, what's the most effective thing I can do right now to contribute to the bottom line of this company so that I can get noticed, so that I can move up the ladder? They're so self-absorbed, and when I say self-absorbed, I mean the brain is so absorbed with its own activities that they're not looking out at the objective world, at the actual situation, the people around them, and saying, okay, you know what, how can I make my mark? Because their attention, at least half the time, is not in the real world. It's immersed in the synthetic world of their thoughts. I've seen this so often. I used to be that person. And I can remember the time period when I transitioned from being somebody who would complain about why I'm not getting the money, why I'm not getting the promotion. I remember the transition period between then and looking around and suddenly money's flying my way and suddenly I'm being promoted without even being asked to. I remember that transition. It was only about a 3-month period, and it was right after I got the e-book that I give away at the Neurosculpting Training Studio. The name of the book is The Power of Concentration. I found that book after a long bit of searching. Now, this was back in the days before everybody could get their hands on it, before it was widely available. I purchased it. And when I got it, read through it, became addicted, I would practice 2-3 hours a day. Guys, I was into it. I don't expect you to do that. But once I read the philosophy and I dived into it and I started daily practicing, something changed inside my brain. I began to understand what was happening with my attention. I began to understand the nature of my thoughts and how they affected my life. I understood what caused me to behave the way I was behaving that made me unimpressive to the people who I worked for. In 3 months, I went from somebody who my bosses and managers felt was just occupying space to somebody they were calling in the office to hand a bigger paycheck and put me in another area, make me a manager over other people. Before I quit that job, because I realized more of my potential, before I quit that job, I got 2 back-to-back promotions with money. And I didn't even try. All I did was do the training. And everything changed. Final scenario. You're in a car. Now, guys, I hate being on the highway. I really do. As a mental fitness trainer, as someone who trains people in being able to control their attention, to be able to concentrate and to be able to focus, I hate driving. I really do. I'm in the Seattle area, and I've got the option of going downtown to get work done and drive there, or just take public transportation. I'm taking public transportation nearly every single time because I despise looking around myself and seeing what people do in cars. They're not there. They're machines driving vehicles, and their minds are not in the vehicle with themselves, and you can see it. It's a frightening, scary thing. I did a blog post a couple months ago, and I think I may have even done a brain training minute episode on this Blog Talk Radio page. I've begun doing brain training minutes, just short little episodes, okay, that people can listen to that give some brain training advice. But did you know that you can use your car as a powerful mental training tool? And all you've got to do is just keep your attention in the car with you. it will totally change your driving habits, but more impactfully, it will change you as you continually try to keep bringing your attention out of daydreaming, out of mental wandering, and back with you. You can use your hands on the steering wheel as an attention target, your breathing, your body posture. It's an amazing technique. Several techniques. I'd look for the blog post if I were you guys. I'd go to www.neurosculpting.com, NEURO-sculpting.com. I would go up to the brain training, the brain fitness blog, and I would look for the categories on mental wandering, daydreaming, that sort of thing. And you'll find the blog post there. It's got techniques in there that you can use. I would go for that. Matter of fact, if you want to break the mental wandering habit, that's a good blog post to read. It's scary being on the highway with thousands of people driving multi-ton vehicles and they're not at the wheel mentally. And then there's the content of mental drifting, the content of the thoughts and feelings themselves. Your mind doesn't just drift off into pleasant daydreams. It goes into whatever concerns are buried into your subconscious mind, both pleasurable and nightmarish. Nightmarish. That Harvard University study that I mentioned earlier, 46.9% of people going off into la-la land, it also states that in the iPhone app that these people used, whenever they were alerted, they were to rate how they were feeling, what kind of mood they were in. And most of them rated themselves as not being happy. Mental wandering makes for unhappiness. It makes for a lousy life experience. Why? Because most of your mental wandering is not going to be off into pleasant fantasies. It's going to be off into past regrets, current worries, future concerns, and anxiety. The more your mind wanders, the more unhappier you're going to be. Because the content of your thoughts and those associated feelings are not supportive to happiness. And even when you drift off into fantasy, into pleasurable fantasies, it has a negative psychological impact on your present. Because you got to come out of that fantasy. It's a jarring physiological and psychological impact when you have to detach yourself from that fantasy and bring yourself back into the real world. You're looking around you going, subconsciously, and even consciously, some of you, this is not where I want to be. I want to be back in that fantasy. I want to be wearing that ballerina outfit. I want to be that good-looking adventurous guy having those Indiana Jones adventures. I want to be that woman of power that everybody respects in my fantasies, who everybody admires and fawns over. But no, here I am at the post office. May I help you? Do you want fries with that? Mental wandering equals unhappiness, because even when you are engaged in somewhat pleasurable fantasies, you got to come back to reality, and the comparison between your fantasy and your reality gives you a negative effect psychologically and physiologically. Some of the potential negative impacts of mental wandering. Now, here's the thing I want you to understand. Let's say you're a 12-year-old and you've gotten into the mental wandering habit. By the time you're 30, the brain changes that you've experienced over that span has increasingly weakened your ability to control your immediate attention over time. Your attention control ability, your skills, grow weaker over time the more you engage in the mental wandering habit. Why? Because your brain becomes better at mental wandering. It becomes worse over time. You remember the wiring, the brain wiring? It becomes thicker. It becomes more entrenched. It becomes more difficult for you to control your attention. It literally becomes natural and easy for you to detach yourself from the real world and go off into that fantasy land, whether it be pleasurable or nightmarish. And it always ends up nightmarish. Pleasurable fantasies do not contribute to your current quality of life. It merely provides you escape. And it colors real life in a dark way. Because if real life is not good enough to hold your attention, and fantasy is what holds your attention, you're not going to prefer real life. You're going to prefer it less and less. You're going to become more gloomy and glum every time you have to come back to now. And it becomes easier to keep you trapped. And when I say control your attention, when fantasy has your attention, when mental wandering has your attention, you don't have it. Your hands are not on the wheel when you're off in la-la land. You are not living your life. You may as well say you're not alive. Your heart's beating, blood's pumping through your veins, thoughts are going on, but you are not living your life. Your life is being led for you by your brain's neurology. You're just a passenger, and you're not even a conscious passenger because your attention has been totally taken up. Is that what you want? That's not what I want. But that's the major negative impact. You are not living your own life. Another impact, daydreaming and fantasizing as an escape mechanism. Look, if you don't have the courage to stand tall in the present moment, in the here and now, because you've got an automatic escape mechanism that takes you out of here and now and lets you live some adventure in a fantasy land, your courage is becoming weaker. Your strength is becoming weaker. That escape mechanism is becoming stronger. Your potential is being swept aside. So every time you got to come back to real life, you're going to experience more anxiety, more stress, and greater inner turmoil. Now, I'm not saying this because I think this is going to happen. I say this because I counsel and train people every day to take them out of these patterns. And remember, the more you use that escape mechanism, and remember, you're not using it, not really, it's a habit. You're not in control. But I say the term, the more you implement and use that escape mechanism, the more negative consequences are going to happen for you emotionally, because the difference between the fantasy and real life is emotionally jarring. And if you're in, that means when your mind wanders, what may start out as pleasurable is always going to start more and more to end up as a negative, nightmarish fantasy. Fantasies can be nightmarish. Worries and anxieties, well, that's fantasy too. It's not real. It's thought-based. It's not you being an adventurous superhero, but it's still a fantasy. And it will get to the point to where you constantly refer back to that because you're trying to get some sense of ownership and control of your life. So you're back in the fantasy. How can I solve this? Oh, my God, this is terrible. How can I avoid this? I'll tell you how you avoid it. Get yourself out of the fantasy. Come back to here and now. But I digress. The more you fantasize, the more you're going to feel a pervasive feeling and experience that your life is in a rut. Pleasurable fantasies are damaging to your life. Now, I'm not saying your life is going to go to hell in a handbasket merely because you got a few minutes, you kind of do it like a mental vacation. As a matter of fact, I've seen some scientific research studies that says there's some benefit to taking a mental vacation. which, of course, I think is nonsense. The benefit is that you're feeling pleasure in the moment that you're taking a mental vacation. But what the scientific studies do not say is what happens to you when you suddenly are snatched away from the mental vacation. Somebody walks into the office. Your mom walks into the room. You suddenly realize that you got to pull off the freeway to get into the parking lot. The scientific study didn't address that impact, but this Harvard University study, that does address it, because they had to rate themselves in the moment they were alerted to the daydreaming. And overwhelmingly, they rated that they were unhappy. So you understand? Now, what if you turn it around? What if you break the mental wandering habit? What are some of the benefits of training yourself to reduce the mental wandering habit? Now we're getting into some good stuff. Now, whereas before you had weak control over your immediate attention, well, if you train yourself, first thing you're going to get is a handhold on your attention. You're going to discover the nature of your attention. What is your attention actually like? What does it feel like to consciously get into the driver's seat of your own brain and drive your attention? William James wrote a long time ago that effort of attention is the essential phenomenon of will. If you want stronger willpower, all you've got to do is start taking control of your attention. You don't got to go out and muscle up and bow up and force anything in life to have greater willpower. You don't have to make yourself not eat anything or make yourself do this. No, no, no. If you want stronger willpower, break the mental wandering habit and start getting control of your attention. Training yourself in basic attention control. And we're not talking about becoming some enlightened human being. We're just talking about attention here, guys. Breaking the mental wandering habit, starting to access your own willpower, your truer self, by simply gaining control, basic control over attention, which opens the door for the most amazing life experiences that so few of us ever get to enjoy. And I'm not even going to go there. I'm just talking about the basics. So, through simple attention control training, through breaking the mental wandering habit, you'll have the benefit of actually being able to have better mental focus. Remember, there's a difference between mental concentration and mental focus. Matter of fact, there's a difference between attention control, mental concentration, and mental focus. Now, if you want to know what those differences are, just go to my YouTube channel, www.youtube.com/dynamicmentalfitness. Now, in some cases, you might have to type in /user/dynamicmentalfitness, but mostly you can generally type in dynamic mental fitness. Or just type in Google. You can just type the search term, mental concentration versus mental focus. Those videos will come up. Now, there's about an hour and something of those things. Just pick the ones you want to watch, because they're all titled with different topics. Simple attention control. You will literally, your mental focus will explode if you can simply detach yourself from mechanical thoughts and bring your attention back here in the room with you, into the here and now. You will lessen anxiety, stress, and inner turmoil, because most of it is based on the thoughts that you allow your attention to drift into. If your attention has not been stolen away by these anxious, stressful thoughts, if your attention is not immersed into feelings and thoughts that comprise inner turmoil, then you're not going through it. through some very simple attention control exercises, you can literally keep your attention in the room with you. Yet your brain can still be thinking those thoughts, but you're so distant from them, they're like some just muted noise off in the distance. And as if they are not fed by your attention, no, they just drift away. Because without your attention, without you feeding it your attention, it has no life. So not only by getting out of the mental wandering habit do you have a more secure and enjoyable emotional life, you'll start to feel like your activities are more worthwhile to you. They'll become more enjoyable. Because that feeling that some of us have that we're in a rut, that we're not living an adventure, that's just a thought, for crying out loud, guys. And if your attention is not immersed in that thought, you're not going to judge your current activities as being less than they really are. You're not going to judge yourself as being less than you really are. For most of us, we really are living amazing lives, except we lack gratitude because our minds are immersed in these ungrateful, unpleasant, unwanted, repetitive patterns of thought. And if our attention is not immersed in those, we can literally, in this very present moment, begin to experience what a wonder our life really is. And if it's not, if you happen to be in some genuinely unpleasant situations, you will at least have the handhold of self-control through basic attention that you can start making a difference. Because I'll tell you what, according to this Harvard University study, with people's minds wandering half the time, that means if you can get back that half, you can be doing something. You can get back half, at least, of your life. Life is different for the person who has control of their attention in the present moment than for the person who does not. Life is different. Entirely different. And it's amazing some of the follow-on benefits that can come from that. You lose timidity, you gain courage and boldness, you wipe away procrastination, you start truly living for the moment. There's nothing more laughable than listening to people who have no idea talk about they got to live for the moment, and they go and they do stupid stuff in the name of adventure just so they can feel like they're truly living life. No. You want to live for the moment, live in the moment. Bring your attention right here to the present moment, to the here and now. Then you'll understand what the moment is. So how do we turn it around, guys, so that we can get some of these benefits? How do we get out of the mental wandering habit? Now, before I give you some techniques, I want to talk about some approaches. You need to train yourself at least 30 minutes a day. You got to start out. You got to expect that when you first start training, you're going to have some mental resistance. The wiring in your brain is so constructed that in order to replace the current cognitive habit of mental wandering that you're dealing with, you're going to have to move some things around. You're going to have to establish new patterns. Rewiring your brain. You're going to have to make some neuronal connections, some neurological connections stronger, and some are going to have to get weak. Some are going to have to be dispersed. You're going to have to make changes in your brain. That means you need to train a minimum of 30 minutes a day. Something's got to change in your brain. You're not going to replace your whole brain. No. But the fore part of your brain, the frontal lobes, are about to get blasted with work. You're going to start strengthening your frontal lobes through this type of attention control training because that's where it's centered. You're going to train your imagination. You're going to train your intuition. And you can even train, you're even going to train your senses. And you're going to develop this increased self-awareness so that you know when, not only are you going to realize more with greater ease when you've been swept off into daydreaming or into mental wandering, you're going to realize that sooner and with greater ease, but you're going to be able to detect the temptation of a thought, of a feeling. You're going to detect the temptation before it ever sweeps you away, and you're going to be able to say, no, thank you. And you're going to have the skill to be able to stay here. 30 minutes a day, minimum, is what you need. If you think you're going to get away with 5 minutes and 15 minutes, hey, good luck with that. Let me know how it goes. If it's meaningful enough to you to add benefit to your life, then it's meaningful enough for you to shut off the television for 30 minutes, to get off the internet, whatever it's got to do. Displace something that's less valuable for something that's more valuable. Like I told you, I was doing it 2-3 hours a day. Now, if I train for 30 minutes a day, it takes me 2 hours just to calm down because my brain is so woohoo! Yeah, baby! Because I'm already wired for it. I've rewired those portions of my brain. Simplicity is power, guys. These techniques are simple. You don't need anything complex, not to start out. Life itself is going to be complex enough. You've got to simplify things. So we're going to be talking about simple techniques. And for goodness sake, start eating food that's actually going to work for you rather than against you. More natural foods, water-friendly foods, fresh fruits, vegetables. You know when you're eating lousy food, guys. Look it up. Do some research. Eat food that's going to help your brain power and your brain performance rather than work against it. You're going to need all the help you can get. And finally, you've got to know your obstacles. You're going to have four main obstacles. You're going to have mental fatigue. Your brain's going to get tired of working against its own mental habits. Not a problem. You're going to be able to push past those limits. You're going to establish new endurance parameters. Another obstacle, you're going to have wandering attention. Well, that's the whole topic of this show. Your brain's not going to just give it up easy. You're going to have to continually bring your attention back to target, whatever that a target is. Sometimes that target is just the present moment in the here and now. Sometimes that target might be a dot. It might be a candle, depending on what approaches you're using. It might be your breath. But you're going to continually have to bring your attention back to that. In order to do that, you're going to have to deal with the third obstacle, which is distracting thoughts. You're going to have to be able to detach your attention. One, you're going to have to be able to detect that you've been swept away. Then you're going to have to be able to detach your attention from that thought, and it gets really easy, guys. It gets so easy with practice. Oh, my goodness, I can't wait to hear from some of you because I look forward to getting those emails or phone calls saying, dude, I got it. I was doing my work, and I could literally feel my thoughts trying to tap me on the shoulder and say, hey, come deal with me. I detected it. I didn't just go wandering off. I felt it before it happened, and I was able to decline by bringing my attention back to a target. That excites people. It's such an amazing experience to get to that. And by doing the minimum of 30 minutes a day, you're going to practice that over and over and over and over again until you become good at it, and then you'll be able to go out into the world and apply it to everything you do. You get in the car, you do not get in that car without knowing you are getting in the car. You reach for the handle consciously. You open the door with conscious purpose. You are not talking to yourself in your head. When you get in the car and you place your hands on the wheel, you will know you're placing your hand on the wheel. You will crank it knowing that you're doing it. And when you take off, not once will you allow yourself to drift off into fantasy about thoughts of the future or the past or things you need to do or worries or concerns. You will be in the car and you will look around you and you will understand what's really going on. And then you'll do like me. You'll stop driving on the highway and start catching the bus because it's freaking crazy out there. And then your final obstacle, external distractions. You know what? External distractions happen. Now, you can train, okay, and in quiet places if you want to, but eventually, if you're really going to get good, you're going to have to purposefully place yourself in environments where there's noise and activity going on. I told one of my trainees the other day, I purposefully will go out to a dance club to conduct mental training and to conduct mental exercises to be able to keep my attention in the here and now. Bring it. Bring me all the distractions. I'm telling you, I can walk into a fair, at the fairground. I can go to an event, a festival, and I can keep my attention with me the entire, I can literally have laser point concentration if I want. But I also have the ability, because I do attention control drills, to change the shape, okay, and width and scale of my attention. That's a form of concentration. It's not the narrowing concentration, but it's concentration on the actual aspects of controlling attention. Now, in order for you to be able to perceive the world around you without allowing your mind to drift, you still have to maintain control. You can literally perceive the world. Your attention bubble can expand to where you can perceive more and more of your environment, but you still have to concentrate on maintaining control, or else it'll disperse and your mind will start to wander. So you got to know your obstacles, and if you train, you will become very familiar with your obstacles. You can then go out into the world and practice what you've learned, and you'll run into those same obstacles, and you'll easily be able to handle them. And one other thing you want to do, with some of the techniques that you try, remember, now you're going to go to the website, you're going to sign up for the 7-day course, and you're going to see some techniques there. Some of those techniques, you're going to be able to time yourself. You should baseline, like some of those techniques. Do them three times to see how long you can do it. Add those times together, divide by three. That's your baseline. You want to try to be able to beat that time. For instance, if I told you to stare at a candle, okay, put a candle about, you know, arm's length away from whatever, just stare at the candle, and look at the candle without allowing your mind to wander, set a timer. When your mind wanders, boom, hit the timer. That's your time. Do it two more times. Add those times together, divide it by three. That's your baseline. So far as you know, on an average day, you can do that. You can look into the candle, and you can keep your mind from wandering about that amount of time. Your objective, by baseline, is to try to beat that time. There's a book. I absolutely love this book. It's by Roald Dahl. It's a story, actually. It's a short story. Okay, the wonderful story of Henry Sugar. Check that story out. I love that story. The wonderful story of Henry Sugar. This guy studied under some yogis for the express purpose, or this guy, he studied someone who studied under yogis because he, for the express purpose that he wanted to be able to cheat at cards. But the more he learned to concentrate, the more selfless he became, and he actually used his skills to be able to benefit orphans. But that's the thing, he would stare at a candle. And his objective was always to beat the time, to be able to do it longer and longer. That involved attention control. So be able to make sure you baseline your ability so that you can track how long you can do it. So let me give you some simple brain training solutions. The main thing you need to be able to do in order to be able to break the mental wandering habit is to be able to engage in attention control. Oh, by the way, the people in the chat room, I want to thank you for stopping by. Now, normally, because I'm not a multitasking person, I'm a mental focus person, if you have any questions, I'll answer it after the episode, or you can go ahead and email me or give me a call at the information I gave you, and I'll take care of you then. If you're still in the chat room when I get done, I'll be able to answer your questions. So, some simple techniques for being able to break the mental habit, the mental wandering habit. Now, I told you I was going to give you two. You know what? I'm going to give you three. It's the holiday season. I'll give you three. Now, remember earlier I told you one of the things you can do if you want to know how bad your mind wanders, use the timer. Set the timer every, say, 15, 20, 30 minutes, and then write down what you can remember you were thinking about during that time. You may become more self-conscious of the fact that your mind is wandering. It's not going to be easy at first. It's a simple technique, but it's not going to be easy. Your mind is in the habit. That's the way it's wired. Now, you can try to resist if you wish, but in that particular approach, just go ahead and just go with the technique. I'm going to give you a phrase. And if you can write this phrase down, put it in your purse, put it in your wallet, slap it up on a wall, put it on your screen, on your monitor. It will go a long way in helping you. If you have forgotten breath and you've forgotten attention, you have forgotten everything. If you've forgotten breath and you've forgotten attention, you've forgotten everything. So your philosophy, which is the opposite of that, is if you can remember your breath and you can remember to attend to whatever you're doing, then you're remembering everything you need to be able to break this habit and start to realize some amazing transformations in your life. Write that down. If you've forgotten breath and you've forgotten attention, you've forgotten everything. I've just given you two targets that you can use to not only improve your ability to get out of a mental wandering habit, but to snatch yourself out of the mental wandering habit. Here's three techniques. Set constant reminders using alarms, notes, or actual schedules, say in your Microsoft Outlook or in your email program, something that will remind you to come back to the here and now. One of the things I used to do is I'd use a timer. I have an electronic timer. It would go off every 15 minutes. And then I would engage in a quick mental training exercise, which I'm about to tell you, to practice bringing my attention back to the here and now. That's one approach. Set constant reminders. There's a timer that you can put on your computer called Cool Timer. Go to www.downloads.com. In the search, type in Cool Timer. It's a free little timer that you can put on your desktop and set it to remind you. You can even set what type of sound you want. I pick the most obnoxious, just rude timer alarm I could find to alert me. Cool Timer. Just go to downloads.com, get it for free if you don't have an actual alert. So set reminders. Take notes. Put post-it notes. Hey, wake up. Whatever you got to do to constantly remind yourself throughout the day, then bring your attention back to the here and now. Another approach, breathing as an attention target. Remember, I just gave you the phrase, if you've forgotten breath and you've forgotten attention, you've forgotten everything. Use your breathing as an attention target. For, say, 30 minutes a day, do two 15-minute sessions. All you need to do is breathe and give every ounce of your attention to every breath you take. Breathe in deep and slow from your diaphragm up, almost like you were filling a balloon and emptying a balloon, okay? Every bit of your attention, every ounce of your attention should be on that breath, and that should be all that matters. You're not to talk to yourself or coach yourself or have a conversation with yourself. You're not to allow your attention to drift off into thought. If it does, simply bring your attention back to the target. And what is the target? Your breath. That's right. Use your breath as an attention target. If you can detect yourself the temptation of being able to go off, then it's easy. Just, boom, start breathing. Bring your attention back to your breath. Folks, if you must, do this 1,000 times a day if you have to. Remember the titanic forces that you're wrestling against. You're talking about the wiring in your own brain. And a final technique, basic attention control drill, okay? I want you to literally practice moving your attention around. And here's a technique you can do. I want you to look at an object outside of yourself, then take your attention and look at a small area on your body. Then take your attention and ask yourself, what am I thinking right now? Then take your attention and expand it as wide as you can to the external world. And I want you to repeat that over and over and over and over again. That is a basic attention control drill. You're driving your attention. If you can do that for 15 minutes, then have absolute control over your attention. Basic attention control drill. Hey, if you guys got any questions, remember to email me or call me. Also, I want to let you know next week we got Brain Training for Self-Discipline, The Power to Own Yourself. Thank you for tuning in. Have a great week.